This is the Arkansas 8-Man Podcast, powered by Scorebook Live Arkansas. And now your hosts, Aaron Weatherford and Steve Knox.
It's week 5 here on the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast, and we are ready for some more football this week. We've got a lot of things to talk about here on this week's podcast. But first, my name is Aaron Weatherford, coming at you from Little Rock, Arkansas, and with me on the phone lines for the consecutive weeks in a row now, Mr. Steve Knox, hailing in from Northeast Arkansas. Steve, welcome back to the Arkansas Football Podcast, my man.
Glad to be here, my friend. Looking forward to talking a little 8-man football and getting into what's going on last week, what went on last week, and what's going on this week.
Absolutely. Well, last week we talked about how big of the slate was going to be for the games happening that Friday night, but a lot of the games, I'll be honest with you, weren't really that close. We had, I would say, we had one game that was a 10-point victory, but then the rest of them, man, all over 20-point victories for just about every other team playing last Friday. So it ended up being not a great slate, but anyway, another great night of football. We saw a team get a huge win on the road. That was this game was formed last week. And as I mentioned that, let's go ahead and jump into it, Steve. The Spring Hill Bears and the Brinkley Tigers faced off one another after forming this game that last Tuesday, I should say. And the Spring Hill Bears get a huge win on the road over the Brinkley Tigers, 40-30. Some stats here coming in from Spring Hill. The main one, four different backs ran for 468 yards for the Bears. So that is a huge deal for the Bears because they love running the football, and Brinkley going to have to figure out how to stop that run because that's obviously what Spring Hill loves to do. And then some defensive performances. Mason Moore had 7 solo tackles and 1 TFL, which means tackle for a loss. And then Levin McGuire also had 3 solo tackles, a tackle for a loss, and a fumble recovery as well. So a big win for Spring Hill, and they are still sitting in that number 2 spot. We'll talk about rankings here in a little bit. But, Steve, your overall thoughts on the Bears' victory over the Tigers?
Well, I was impressed by what Spring Hill was able to do. They made Brinkley look bad a few times. Being able to run the ball as effectively as they were able to do all night and just – like I said, they made Brinkley look foolish a few times. Just some power football, and I really thought Brinkley might come out ahead in this game. And foolish might not have been the right word to use, but anyway, I was impressed by what Spring Hill was able to do. And I'm sure that the Brinkley coaching staff and players are shaking their heads today trying to figure out what hit them. That was a surprising result for me, for them to really dominate that game the way they did.
Absolutely. Well, Brinkley did have a couple of guys that played really well for him. Mitchell Hicks, obviously one of those, was 7 of 12 for passing, had 168 yards after only passing it 12 times and had 3 touchdowns. Also ran the ball 12 times for 127 yards and a touchdown. Christopher Williams was another cat right here, 2 catches for 82 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Brinkley's obviously, they're still going to be a really good football team as both teams this week get into conference play along with the rest of the 8-man teams as we get into week 5. So let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Strong took on Dermont in a big-time sanctioned South division or a sanctioned South Conference showdown. The Strong Bulldogs traveled down to take on the Dermont Rams, and the Bulldogs went back home with a huge 44-8 victory over the Rams. Jamyron McHenry, of course, 109 yards on 13 carries for 3 touchdowns. Caden McHenry-Jones was 9 of 10 through the air, had 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then sophomore tight end DeQuez Creighton, 3 catches for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. The defense held a Dermont team that had been just lighting up the scoreboard, Steve, to just 107 total yards of offense and 8 points, obviously. Jamyron Mitchell, another kid on the defense, had 10 tackles. Jakeem Woods with 5. He also had a sack and a punt block. And then Caden McHenry added it on to his stats and had 5 tackles as well, while Jaylen Wallace and Cedric Brown combined for 2 interceptions. So, an overall, just a great game played by Strong last Friday night, Steve.
Yeah, the Bulldogs really flexed their muscles. And, you know, I was really interested in pointing to this game last week as we know how far Dermont has come. Well, it's obvious that they still have a long way to go, but, you know, Strong 2 years ago was one of the best teams in eight-man football, and they certainly looked like it the other night against the Rams.
They did indeed, and let's go ahead and move down to the rest of the list here. Izzard County took on Midland, and, man, put up 60 on the Mustangs. 60-14 was your final score up there. Izzard County was getting ready for their big game this week. We'll talk about that one here in just a moment. Mountain Pine was back on the gridiron last week after taking a bye. They took on Marvel on the road, and the Red Devils went home with a victory 64-28 over the Mustangs of Marvel. Adonis Delaney was the big running back, the big guy of the night for the Red Devils. 11 carries for 137 yards and 3 touchdowns. And no, this isn't a typo. When I'm about to talk about 3 different guys here. All 4 runners that I'm about to mention all ran the ball 11 times last Friday, and it was split up between all of them. Jonah Wilburn, the quarterback, 11 carries for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then Zion Wyatt also had 11 carries for 109 yards and 1 touchdown. And then Antonio Rookard also had 11 carries for 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. So a big performance there for Mountain Pine this last week. They've got another one. Big conference game this week as they begin Sanctioned South play coming up. To our club division, Mountain View and Fountain Lake, the rematch of last year's club division state championship. The Yellow Jackets took a visit to the Cobras, and the Yellow Jackets, of course, went back home 26-0. Not going to lie, I expected the score margin to be a little high, but I got to give credit to Fountain Lake. They came out, they played a great ball game, just could not get in the end zone, unfortunately, and the defense obviously could only hold up for so long. Drew Shelton, the quarterback for Mountain View, had a big night, 10 carries for 90 yards on the ground, a rushing touchdown. Was also 7-9 through the air, 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. Drew Isabel, 3 carries for 38 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Chad Russell also caught it 4 times for 69 yards and had a receiving touchdown. And then Jesse Decker finished it out with a reception, 24 yards and a receiving touchdown as well. Maverick Woods on defense for Fountain Lake was also all over the place, 17 tackles and a fumble recovery there. So, once again, a lot of people thought this was Mountain View's first test of the season. I thought it was against Subiaco Academy a couple weeks ago, but Mountain View handles Fountain Lake on the road last Friday, Steve.
Another impressive performance by Mountain View. You know, Fountain Lake, they've, you know, those kids just can't catch a break. I mean, they've been hit by the injury bug. I know they had a young man suffer an injury the other night in the game and lost him probably most likely for the season. So it's just they've had a tough year when it comes to injuries. And they keep plugging. They played hard the other night, but they just couldn't keep up with the Yellow Jackets. Mr. Shelton showed his prowess again, and that kid's just a special young man.
Absolutely. One of the best players in eight-man football right now. He'll continue things with another conference game this week as, like I mentioned, both divisions begin conference play. So we move down the list. Subiaco Academy took on the Cutter Morning Star Eagles. This was a big game for Cutter to really put their mark on the Club South Conference play. This was a really close game, Steve, early on. Both teams were back and forth. It was a really close game there in the first half, but Subiaco pulled away there in the second half, and the final score 68-26, Subiaco Academy over Cutter Morning Star. The main guy we have to talk about this kid. Brody Koch has gotten off to sort of a slow start this year. Was the big name out of Subiaco Academy last year. This year, it's been a little bit different. They found a different quarterback that has played that spot, so Brody has gotten the load taken off of him. But Friday night was a completely different story, Steve. Brody Koch, 30 carries for 362 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then classmate Anthony Gehrig had 20 carries for 201 yards and 4 touchdowns. He also picked it off 2 times on defense. I think for Cutter Morning Star, Peyton Mills, of course, had a good night, 21 of 34 through the air, 374 yards passing, had 3 touchdowns, but he also threw 2 interceptions. And then Isaiah Mahone, he's a up-and-coming receiver here for Cutter Morning Star, 7 catches for 160 yards and also had 2 touchdowns as well on offense. But again, Steve, if we did a player of the night, I think Brody Koch would probably take that spot.
Oh, he's a phenomenal game. Anytime you rush for 360 yards in a game, that's just outstanding. And you know, the fact we had two players combined for almost 600 yards rushing, that's just what a night. What a night for the Subiaco Academy Trojans. I mean, just a tremendous offensive game. And, you know, Caleb Mills continues to impress throwing the ball. And, you know, Cutter stayed with them for a while, but eventually their defense just couldn't get the Trojans off the field. And that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, that's Peyton Mills, Steve. Don't you get that wrong now.
Excuse me. Forgive me.
Oh, man, I had to mess with you a little bit there. But anyway, big game by Subiaco Academy. Moving on down the list, here's a quiet team that's really progressing as making themselves a really good team right now down in southwest Arkansas. Genoa Central was on the road last Friday, took on Parker's Chapel, who's still looking for that second win of the season. Genoa Central was too much for the Trojans as they win it 44-22 over the Trojans. Genoa Central's Caleb McClure, big-time playmaker coming out of southwest Arkansas right now. 21 carries for 194 yards and four touchdowns. Sophomore quarterback Riley Harris was 5 of 12 through it for 126 yards and two touchdowns. And the junior wide receiver Riley Mudford, 2 receptions for 68 yards, also had a touchdown. And then senior wide receiver Kobe Lamon, 2 receptions for 55 yards and also had a touchdown for the Dragons. So, Genoa, kind of quietly moving up the ranks here. I know they're this week our number 3 team in our club division. We haven't heard a lot out of them, but, hey, they're making some big noise down there. They've pulled out some really close victories against some quality teams so far this season. And watch out, Steve. The Dragons may make a push here in the Sanctioned South – or, man, Club South Division.
I was just fixing to say the same thing here, and I've been impressed by – progressions and the improvement that Genoa has shown as they've gone through the season. And they have, as you said, pulled out the key victories when they needed to do so. And it'd be interesting if they make a push and see if they can make a run toward the top of the club division.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that. They got a big one this week at home, so we'll talk more about that here in just a second. Our second to last game for our game of the week, Corning took on the Marshall Bobcats in a battle of the Bobcats up there in northeast Arkansas. And Corning, man, took it to Marshall 56-14 over the Marshall Bobcats as Corning moves to 1-0 in conference play. Seth Smith, who has been the story up there at quarterback for Corning, 5 of 9, 185 yards through the air and 2 touchdowns. And then Jacob Cox, a kid that not a lot of people know about, but you're learning about him really quick right now. 3 catches for 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also ran it 6 times for 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also had 2 successful 2-point conversions. So Mr. Jacob Cox of Corning trying to be one of those player of the year. It'll be interesting to see what Corning does, because right now it looks like we could be on a spearhead to see Corning and Mountain View battle it out for that Club North Division championship later in the season. Now to our game of the week, Steve. It was a good one last week in the first half, but Cedar Ridge scores 20 unanswered points in the third quarter and pulls away from Rosebud 48-22. Aiden Jones, the story of the night, what a player he is. Aiden Jones had 185 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Jace McNeil, the tailback, had 100 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Aiden Sober had 50 yards rushing and 1 touchdown, and that was actually a fake punt, if you really wanted to know. It was a fake punt. You'll have to go watch it on our YouTube. It's just a crazy play. Aiden went to try and punt it. Well, fake it, actually, and then it looked like he was covered up, and all of a sudden busted out of there with ease and pretty much walked into the end zone. And then Bentley Bullington on defense had a pick 6 as well. So a great performance there in the second half by Cedar Ridge. Rosebud, on the other hand, back to the drawing boards, but they had a couple guys that balled out pretty well. Braden Reedy caught it 4 times for 124 yards, had a touchdown. Hayden Jennings, up-and-coming running back for the Rosebud Ramblers, 8 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown. And then Bryce Walls, of course, was 7 of 20 with 155 yards and a touchdown as well. So that rounds out last week's games. And now, Steve, man, this is probably the quickest we've ever moved through this thing. We are now entering week 5 rankings and what's going down Friday night. So let's go ahead and start with our sanctioned rankings at number 1. They've been there probably since, I think it was week 2 when we moved them up there officially. The Rector Cougars. The Cougars Got a big one this week. Rector facing Izzard County in the rematch of the sanctioned state title game from last December. Izzard County obviously isn't the same team they were ago, but it's still going to be a huge game Friday night. Izzard County, of course, they're coming with some much-needed confidence after that big win against Midland last week. And then, of course, at number two, we've got the Spring Hill Bears. They're taking on the Dermont Rams. Number three, the Strong Bulldogs and the Woodlawn Bears. And, of course, at number four, you got the Woodlawn Bears. They're traveling over Strong. We'll talk about that one here in a minute. At number five is the Brinkley Tigers. They'll be taking on Augusta Friday night. Of course, at number six, Izzard County as they travel over to Rector. And then Mountain Pine rounds out the top seven as they take on Hermitage Friday night. So, again, back to that top game. Rematch, the big rematch of our sanctioned division. Steve, your thoughts?
Rector is going to be tough for Izzard County to stop. I just think, you know, Rector's shown that, you know, they've got the kids to make some plays, and just their quarterback just does everything right. And I think Rector's going to be a handful. ICC is going to have their hands full, and they do have some kids that can make some plays. They've got to find quarterback themselves, but I think I'd have to favor Rector in this game.
Then, of course, number two, Spring Hill and Dermont. The Dermont Rams took one on the chin last week. It's as strong as Spring Hill comes back home after a huge victory on the road 3.5 hours away from Spring Hill. Big one going down there in southwest Arkansas. Dermont has a chance here to really put their name back in the drawing board for that sanctioned South Division Championship line. Could be a really good one here Friday night in southwest Arkansas, Steve.
I agree. Spring Hill, you know, they just run the ball. There's no secret to what they're doing, and they're tough to stop. And Dermot's going to have to step up and play a really good game on the defensive side of the ball, and they're going to have to get some stops and get that offense of Spring Hill off the field. And that'll be very telling as to what happens in this game. It'll be interesting to see. Dermot's got their work cut out for them, but I think it could be a very, very – Could be a very, very close game, and look forward to be very competitive.
And then we'll save our game of the week last, of course. And then, of course, number five, Brinkley, back in action again this week. They take on the Augusta Red Devils. Augusta took a break last week. The Red Devils back on the road this week, and I highly expect Brinkley to get back on track this week as we move into week five, Steve.
I agree. I think the Tigers are they're a little bit wounded after last week. I think they've had their pride hurt a little bit, and I look for them to come out and really take it to the Red Devils. I don't think it'll be much of a contest. I really think that Brinkley will get the win here.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Mountain Pine hosts the Hermitage Hermits. Hopefully the Hermits can keep everybody, you know, safe this week and not get anybody hurt, but I'm afraid they're a little bit outmatched this week against Mountain Pine. I expect Mountain Pine to get ready for the bulk of that sanctioned South Division conference after this week. So let's go ahead and move into our club division rankings. At number one, still at number one, the Mountain View Yellow Jackets. There's no debate there. They are the team to beat in our club division. And number two is the Subiaco Academy Trojans. They're still holding strong at that two spot. And number three, Genoa Central, still looking like a really good team out of southwest Arkansas. It's going to depend on whether or not they can keep everybody healthy, because this is about how they looked last year until their game against Fountain Lake was ironically this week. So I'll get your opinion on that in a minute, Steve. And number four, we got the Corning Bobcats. The Bobcats back in there in that top five as they take on Cedar Ridge on the road this week. And number five, it's Cutter Morning Star, as they will host Marshall. And number six, Cedar Ridge, obviously hosting Corning. And then at number seven, the Fountain Lake Cobras, as they are on the road this week at Genoa Central. So back up top, Steve, Mountain View taking on Rosebud. Rosebud showed some life in that first half last week when it came to offensive and defensive performance. It was a 22-22 ball game, but Rosebud, of course, just faltered there in the second half. The offense kind of sputtered there in the third quarter, and Cedar Ridge took advantage of it. They're going to have to play a lot better if they want to have a chance of winning this one.
Oh, I agree. Mountain View, there's, you know, like I said, there's no secret sauce here. They, you know what they do. They're going to come out and hit you in the mouth. And, you know, Drew Shelton leads that team, and they're very effective and very efficient and what they do, and they play very, very good defense. And it's going to be incumbent upon the Ramblers to play well on both sides of the ball. They can't have just have one half of an effort. They've got to play both halves equally as well. And it's going to be a tough game for them. And I think Mountain View has to be favored in the game, but it's nice to see Rosebud come out and show a little bit of life. Unfortunately, they weren't able to hold on last week.
Absolutely. And number two, Subiaco Academy. Man, you talk about a road trip right here. Subiaco Academy on the road at Parker's Chapel as they get into their second conference game of the season. The Trojans showed off the running game last week. I think they saw something that Cutter Morningstar might have struggled with and decided to run the football as much as they can, and they sure did that after looking at, of course, Brody Koch and Anthony Garrick's stats. Parker's Chapel, on the other hand, looking for their second win of the season as they took one on the chin a week ago to Genoa Central in a 20-plus point loss there to Genoa Central. Parker's Chapel, again, one of those teams, I think, if they can get over the hump, I think they could be a team to watch out for maybe in the state playoff bracket or the consolation bracket. But nonetheless, going to be a tough matchup for Parker's Chapel. Subiaco, like I mentioned, though, what a drive for the Trojans.
It is a nice little drive for them down there. But, Subiaco, they've been very resilient this year. And, Parker's Chapel, like you said, they've made a drastic improvement over what they had last year. But they've got to play a complete game. And I think that Subiaco, I think they've got to be the favorite here. And I think that you might just see more of that power run game like they displayed last week against Cutter. So look for Subiaco Academy to come out on top in this game.
Number three, Genoa Central and Fountain Lake. I actually went to this game a year ago, saw these two teams play, and it was a close one there in the first half until guys unfortunately started falling down there for Genoa Central in the second half, and that game eventually had to be called because of an injury. So I think this year it's going to depend on whether or not Genoa Central can stay healthy. Coach Hudson down there for the Dragons, I know, has probably put that as a point of emphasis. He's also a defensive-minded guy, so they're going to be playing some good defense. We've seen that so far this season. Fountain Lake, on the other hand, they've played some really good defense this season. But, of course, we've seen them sputter quite a bit on offense, not scoring near as many points as they did a year ago due to the fact they've had multiple injuries on their football team that were big-time playmakers for their offense. I think, Steve, I'm going to be completely honest. I think this game could go either way depending on which team shows up and which team plays the best Friday night, obviously.
I agree. It's unfortunate, Fountain Lake's been bit by the injury bug this year, and, Genoa went through that last year, obviously. And like I said, if either team plays well and if Fountain Lake finds a way to scratch out some offense and get a few points on the board, it could be a very close game. So this one could go either way.
Absolutely. And then number four, moving down the list here, Corning travels to Cedar Ridge Friday night. The Bobcats, mentioned it a second ago, in their second conference game of the season. They're right now looking like maybe the second best or even maybe the best team in the Club North Division. But we'll talk about, how that pans out later on down the road. They got to take on Cedar Ridge this week, a team. Cedar Ridge, I mean, when they are playing to their potential, I think Cedar Ridge is a really good football team. We saw it last week, and I did get this note too. Aiden Jones was evidently 100% last week, and I could obviously tell that. He played a heck of a game against Rosebud and as well as all of the other teammates on his team. But this is going to be a really good measuring stick, I think, for Cedar Ridge and Corning to see where they are. Both teams can be really good. Corning, I think, a little bit beefier up front. I think they've got the quarterback there at Corning can also throw it like Jones can. But this is going to be a good one there in North Arkansas between the Timberwolves and the Bobcats, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. Corning has really shown me a lot. They've really improved this year tremendously. And anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they line up against the Timberwolves this week. But this game could go either way as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens Friday night.
And then moving on down the list, Cutter Morningstar back at home this week. They will be taking on the Marshall Bobcats. Cutter Morningstar, like I said, was a close game there in the first half of last week's game against Subiaco Academy, but like Rosebud, they kind of faltered there in the second half, and Subiaco Academy ran away with it pretty much. Cutter Morning Star slowly putting it together right now. They've obviously still got a ways to go, but they're going to be a team in the future, I think, that's not going to be, you know, looked down upon at all like they formerly were multiple years ago. Marshall, on the other hand, going back to the drawing board after taking that tough beating to Corning last week. Marshall still fighting, I would say, for that 3-4 spot at this point for the Club North Division here in 8-man football. But I think we might have a tough matchup here maybe with the Eagles. But who knows? Marshall loves to run the football, and Cutter Morning Star struggled last week with stopping Subiaco Academy from running the football, Steve.
I agree. Contest and style here, I think, Cutter's got a dynamite quarterback, and they like to put the ball in the air, and they do it effectively. And Marshall, they're going to try and run the ball down your throat. He's just going to whose style and whose power of wills is going to come out in this one. Be a tough game, could be a good game, could go either way.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Cedar Ridge taking on Corning, and then Fount Lake at Genoa. So the last game we haven't talked about yet, our Game of the Week, which is being broadcast on the Arkansas 8-Man Football Game of the Week YouTube channel. You can go check that out. Find that link in the 8-Man Football group. That's Arkansas 8-Man Football on Facebook. It's pretty much a group. It's public. You can join it. You won't have to wait on, you know, acceptance letters from anybody. All you got to do, go find that group. Click on the join. You joined it. And then scroll down just a little bit to find the YouTube link to where the game will be streamed at. Steve, this is, I think, one of our, if not the best streamed game we'll have of the season. Both teams fighting for supremacy in the sanctioned South Conference right now. And I know we mentioned this against Strong and Dermont last week, but I do legit think that this could possibly be a sanctioned South Conference championship, a battle of 1 and 2.
Absolutely. So it could go. I mean, this is going to be a tough game. I mean, two best teams, I think, in that area, and I think that they got – it'll be a tough game. Anybody could win it.
Yeah, and Woodlawn coming off of a bye week, a much-needed bye week. I know they had a couple of guys down with injuries, but they got the bye week over. It'll be interesting to see who dresses again for Woodlawn, but nonetheless, Strong, a really good football team to start out. We've talked, again, it's like we're talking – I'm a broke record at this point. You know, they've got all the athletes in the world. They've put it together here, and now we're ready to see what exactly Strong can do when the lights shine bright on him. Woodlawn the same way. You know, how are they going to react? And I think this is just going to be a great ball game. Woodlawn extremely physical up front, while Strong's going to get out in space and run it all over you and throw it all over you as well. And I cannot wait to get down to Strong Friday night to watch this game and call this game as well. It'll be my first time ever being down that south in South Arkansas, so it will be an interesting drive down there, but I'm excited to be there for this big game Friday night. And again, like I mentioned, this could end up being a sanctioned South Conference title, so you do not want to miss it. This game, again, will be broadcast in the Arkansas 8-Man Football Game of the Week Friday night, which the stream will start at 6:45. You don't want to miss it. A whole lot of action coming at you. Well, Steve, man, it was a quick one today, but I had a lot of fun. We're officially at 28 minutes, so we'll have about a minute here to wrap up. Any final thoughts you have on this week's slate or this week's rankings?
I think we have some big games that could have a real positive impact on the rankings next week. And I didn't really say much about the Woodlawn Strong game, but I think that's got the makings of being a heck of a fall football game. And as you said, that's going to be an interesting contrast in wills and styles there. So at this point, it's going to be interesting to see if anybody can challenge Mountain View or Rector for the top spots in the sanctioning club division. So anyway, yeah. I'm interested to see what happens this Friday night as we continue down this path toward Little Rock and the state championship games down the road.
Wise words from Mr. Knox himself. And want to remind everybody, we are also, we just announced today at the time of this recording, we recorded this on Tuesday, we are streaming the club state championship game this year. I know last year was actually broadcast by Mountain View's local stream. But this year, it will be an unbiased broadcast brought to you by your folks here at the Arkansas 8-Man Football Game of the Week YouTube channel, and as well as Lake Area Sports. They are our premier live streaming company this year. Without them, you wouldn't be seeing 8-Man Football on your screen, on your phone, on your TV at all without those guys. So we want to thank them especially for doing that. We'll have more updates on that. Obviously, we can't say where the game's going to be at because we don't know who's playing in the game. So obviously, we can't do that right now. But we will have a lot of that coming out here soon once we get closer to playoff time and get ready for postseason. Well, guys, that's all I've got to say today. It's been a fun podcast. 30 minutes exactly, Steve, right on the dot. Let's try to do this every week, man. Thanks again for coming on with me and talking some football.
Enjoyed it. Have a good week, Aaron.
All right. That was Steve Knox from Northeast Arkansas. My name is Aaron Weatherford. This has been episode number 24 of the Arkansas 8-Man Football Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.